Hour number two, we thank you so much for being here with us on this Tuesday. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph, I'm Damian Barling. Be sure to listen to The Drive at 8:30 a.m. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, starting tomorrow, September 14th, for the name of a former Kings player. You have the opportunity to win a pair of Kings Row tickets to opening night at the Golden One Center on Thursday, October 27th, against the San Antonio Spurs. Now, if you collect all 14 Kings players we announce on air between the 14th and October 14th, the name of the 15th Kings player will be available at Coors Light displays at local participating supermarkets. Come to the finale on Tuesday, October 18th at Malton Mash, located at 715 K Street, downtown, between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. If you're able to correctly name all 15 Kings players on our all-time Kings team, you could walk away with a pair of tickets to opening night. And there you have it.
All right. That's going to be interesting.
Now, we've been having a lot of fun with today's show. 49er fans, super hype, lots of football to talk about. Kevin Harlan's amazing call. And we actually have some very fun questions, but we're going to kick three the hard way off with a serious one.
All right, guys, I'll start with that. The NCAA yesterday, the kind of the story that came out was they removed some more of their championship events from the North Carolina, from the state of North Carolina. Seven all told, I think, including some something that really means a lot to that area and some college basketball. The first two rounds of the NCAA tournament they have removed. Question is, this seems a little bit out of character from the NCAA, to be honest. I'm glad they did it. But did the NCAA get it right?
It's way out of character.
From them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But the answer to your question, in my opinion, yeah, absolutely. I mean, people look at this. We had this discussion when they took the All-Star game out of Charlotte. People call it incorrectly the bathroom law because right. That's what it's so closely associated with. But I beg of everybody listening to this, go read the law in its entirety. And no matter your sexual preference or your race or your background, you will be offended by this. You hear people so much now because of this national anthem thing talking about patriotism and the rights of Americans. Read that law in its entirety and realize how many of those rights that North Carolina has attempted to take away with that law. It's absolutely insane that something like that has been written and passed in this country. So, yes, absolutely the NCAA did the right thing.
Well, the reason why something like that is written and passed in this country is because you still have quite a bit of our population who somehow believe that by denying rights to individuals that are different from them, you are protecting their rights. There are a lot of people who have a twisted way of thinking about that, and these things don't get written up and passed just by accident. So there are people that support this way of thinking. With that being said, I do believe that the NCAA got it right, because I think what's important to me is the NCAA, what it stands for. That second letter, collegiate, right? I feel like you have to protect students and younger athletes. And the NCAA, even though everything they do is all about making money,
for sure,
at some point you have to make a sincere move to protect and support all of your student body, all of them, not just the ones that help you make money. So I think they made the right call, and I think the reason why they had to do it, the state of North Carolina has just been absolutely just very bold in their stance. You know, the NBA put the pressure on them. They're like, nope, we don't care. NCAA, I'm sure they warned them saying, hey, if you don't change this, we're not going to be able to keep these seven events there. Okay, whatever. This is how we feel. Well, then the NCAA's, their hand is forced, because it's much bigger than just what's happening in this one state. So I think they got it right for sure.
Yeah, I was I totally agree with you guys. I was surprised the NCAA did it. I'm glad they did it. And we'll see what North Carolina does, because generally follow the money. The money's being taken away, and that should have – it shouldn't take that, but a lot of times that's what it does take, is taking money away from something to get people to move and do their thing.
Yep.
Their response was comical.
North
Carolina, the GOP group who put that, it's comical. And I'm trying to be careful. In fact, I won't even say it. It was just a comical response. If you haven't seen it, go see it. Before we get to the more fun, lighthearted questions, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Ken, welcome back to the show. Eager, your take on this.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it. You know, I hear so much about the Kaepernick thing, and I've really been trying, you know, I have my opinions on it as much as possible, been trying to, you know, make my Facebook posts and stay out of it. There's some things that happen that really, really, you know, bring it to your attention that you like, you know what, people really need to pay attention. Now, I know we talk about sports, but sometimes sports is a proper avenue on which to bring things to attention. And, like, sometimes people only respond when you affect their pocketbook. And with the NCAA taking away activities or competitions in North Carolina, at least it brings to the attention the fact that, you know, these kind of laws was passed. But, you know, to me, it's amazing that people get outraged by what they see Kaepernick do, but these same people haven't said anything when North Carolina passed a law specifically targeting African Americans. This is not by, you know, some sort of newspaper columnist rant. This is the court actually coming out and said this law was passed with almost surgical precision to deny African Americans the right to vote in North Carolina. To me, these are the kind of things that should be outraged, because you're talking about denying people a basic fundamental right, the right to participate in the political process in America. When you have laws that are passed that are designed to deny people this kind of right, I find this a little bit more serious than Colin Kaepernick sitting down for the national anthem, and yet it never comes up. So when you have a platform like these athletes do, who are deciding to use this platform to bring to the attention of the American public that there are so many things that goes on that you really should be outraged about, but you're going to choose this to be outraged about. To me, it smacks of hypocrisy, and I'm glad that you guys bring to attention these kind of issues, because at the very least, it brings up dialogue, it brings up discussion that's important to, you know, to at least talk about. So I applaud you for doing this. I know it's hard. I know some people say it ain't sports, but it's definitely life. Thank you so much.
We appreciate you, Ken. And the sports tie-in is obviously the NBA has done it. The NCAA has done it. Yeah. We're not going to spend, you know, a ton of time on this. But, again, just encourage people to go read that law. We're in a world, and we say this all the time, of 140 characters.
Now, which one are you talking about? I'm talking about the bathroom law. He's talking about the voter ID law, which is something
which
separate.
Which is totally different.
And it's not even happening just in that state. It's happening in other states as well.
It's – North Carolina is still very much the South.
Oh, yes, sir.
And the South is different. Like, if you've lived there, you know, it's just a different world. Things are different there. But the law that we're talking about, just go read it. Don't, like, read the excerpts of it from CNN or Fox News or whatever your website of preference is, or especially Twitter, where it's condensed to 140 characters. Read it in its entirety. It's not a fun read. It's not enjoyable.
Right.
But read it so you understand it. And I think you'll understand why the NCAA has done what they have done and why the NBA has done what they've done. Anything to add?
Oh, I have a whole hour to add, but I'm not going to do it right now.
Okay. Jason? All right. Let's get moving. You're going last because yours is super fun. Mine, we all saw Jim Harbaugh pick his nose, right?
Yeah, right.
We're going from one extreme to the other.
Right? Yeah.
That's what this show is about.
Yeah.
It absolutely looked like he ate whatever he pulled out of there. He is insistent he did not eat a booger.
That's all the more proof that he did, right?
Do you believe him? Do you believe?
Our question is if he ate a booger.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah.
I told you we were going from one extreme to the other, but his denial was so adamant. Like, dude, we saw you.
You went straight to your mouth and you didn't go anywhere else. Right?
And he didn't, it wasn't even graceful. Nose to mouth.
He didn't like
to mouth.
And stayed there.
It's not like he put his hand down for a second and then brought it back up. Nose to mouth.
There's no strong breeze that day, so there's no chance of that booger being blown off the finger before it got to your mouth. And he stayed there in the mouth for a minute.
Yeah.
He stayed there.
I mean, I'm 100% in the camp to think he did it, but the only way is if there wasn't anything on the end, because he went in with like his thumb. Put his thumb to his mouth.
But that's how you go in and get the ones that are stuck in there,
okay.
Right? That's how you get
right.
ones that are, like, pasted up in there. You can't do that with your forefinger. Everybody knows that.
And it looks like there's a little chomp, too. Like,
like there was some substance.
Yeah.
Even if he didn't, what reason would you take your nose or your finger from your nose to your mouth in that amount of time? What other reason would there be? Like, who says, I'm just going to put my nose here and then put it in my mouth?
Yeah, that's just, there's nothing. It makes sense the other way, right? You put your hand in your mouth and then you smell to see if your saliva smells like really weird or something like that. That's natural. But
what? Wait a minute.
What? No?
No.
Okay. Wait a minute. So
just me?
So wait a minute. No one here has ever had their parent like lick their thumb and then wipe something off of your face.
Yes.
Well, I've had that.
And then you don't smell your parent's saliva after that?
What do you mean? No. If they put it on my face, how am I smelling my...
Well, my dad would do it on my nose because you're a kid. You got, you know, maybe some dried up something around your nose. And I remember when I was like 7 or 8, my dad would lick his massive thumb that covered the whole surface of the freaking earth and then wipe it across my nose to get the dried up stuff off it. And I'd smell my dad's saliva for the next freaking hour.
I gotcha. But you're not doing that to yourself.
No, sir, I'm not. No, sir, I'm not.
I think he's guilty.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Let's take this up to Supreme Court. Totally guilty.
Yeah,
Judge Judy would convict him.
Oh, Judge Judy.
And you know how
Bird
I know?
Would get him.
I know he's doing it because my son does the exact same thing. He's 5 and a half.
And I think he just got defensive because he got caught on camera?
Yes, totally.
Does he not know? Oh, it's always on him. He's the star at Michigan right now. Maybe week 8, 9, 10, it'll be a little different. He's the star at Michigan. That camera's on him. You can't go nose to mouth that quick and not expect this type of backlash.
At least you got to get a flick in between. If you go nose
or a
then
wipe,
go flick or wipe, and then you can go to your mouth.
He ate a booger.
Yeah, and he said, "I eat vitamins. It's called a steak." That was his line before. I don't know what else he's eating.
He is such a unique individual.
Yes,
he's a weirdo.
He attacked that booger like with intensity ever known to mankind or something like that. That was a tough question, by the way. You talk about three the hard way.
You got caught in a
pick. It's not going to get any tougher than that.
I just want to say that I'm a little upset today.
Shocker.
Because I asked for something, and I haven't heard any of it, and we've been on the air for an hour and 15 minutes. Well, let me just say this, then. It was 20 years ago today that Tupac Shakur officially passed away. But it's not necessarily a sad occasion, people. I'm going to spin it in a different way. Who is your all-time favorite deceased rock star?
It's interesting because I feel like they're all deceased at this point. Like I was watching back Allen Iverson's speech, and I think he only named one person that was alive. Remember he name-dropped like Biggie and Tupac? He said Jada Kiss, who I'm pretty certain is still alive. He said Michael Jackson, who he just named a bunch of, oh my gosh. That's where we are in life. Like all of our musical heroes are passed away. I love Tupac, obviously. Biggie was always my guy, though, when you had to pick one and there was a stretch of time where you had to pick one.
Oh, yeah.
I loved Biggie, but it's Michael Jackson.
Oh, okay.
Easy. Michael Jackson changed my life.
He changed your life.
Your life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Michael Jackson.
Were you one of those kids running around like trying to moonwalk and
of course,
the Thriller jacket?
Of course. Absolutely. Now, we couldn't afford the Thriller jacket.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
one
but
glove?
No. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
One glove, moonwalk, videos. When Blockbuster Video was a thing, I would rent the making of Michael Jackson's Thriller
because
we didn't have MTV. So we would rent that video every single week, and I would watch it over and over again. When I was super young, I'd run into the closet when he turned into a werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Michael Jackson's the reason I love music. Music is the reason I got into radio, and I was in music radio first. Here I am.
Okay. Were you on the air the day when he passed?
No, I had left FM radio and was actually called by the program director.
Right, you told me you came back in and programmed three hours.
Yeah, I came in and did like a 5-hour, 6-hour show with two different DJs who were there. Big Al, who's on a different station now, and Tony, who does the mornings at KSFM, I did shows with them that overlapped with just playing different music, trying to be different from the other stations because I have a massive collection. And they all knew that. I've been gone a year, so that was the first radio show I had done in a year.
Got it.
Well, there's so many.
I know, right?
So I want to acknowledge Prince, Whitney, Luther, but it's Michael Jackson.
Big Luther, little Luther. Big Luther, skinny Luther. Okay.
Big. Yeah.
Everybody goes with
but it's Michael.
I mean, when you just start, you could share yours as well. People already are. 44, 11, 40. Mac Dre, that's a local one like that. Bob Marley.
Doesn't get any better than that.
I mean, there's just so many. Like, if you put together, I feel like it's easier to name, like, guys who are alive. Like, Rolling Stones.
Paul McCartney.
The rest of them are gone, though. Like, Paul McCartney is famous.
Ringo's still here.
Beatles are uber famous.
Yeah. It's true. It probably is harder to find those that are.
But like Prince, you know, Bob Marley here. So, I mean, there's just so many. Do we even have to ask? It's Prince, right?
Absolutely. All day, every day. That's my dude. That's the dude that
I remember Luther and Rick James died really close, like really close together.
Did they really?
I think so.
I remember
putting together tributes for him at the other radio at KSFM. I just put together tributes for him, and I remember they weren't that far apart.
Right.
It's like, oh, I got to do another one. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. No, Prince for me because he made me want to play guitar. I'd just been playing like acoustic guitar, like most kids, just strumming along the stuff. And then I decided I wanted to play electric guitar. So I remember sitting there trying to play Prince songs on my electric guitar, and I was about 22, 23 years old in college. And then I distinctly remember maybe 2 years ago, maybe not even 2 years ago. I want to say, sorry, last year, November of last year, I was depressed and didn't want to play music with the band that I was in. I didn't want to do anything. And then I saw Prince do like an 8-minute set on Saturday Night Live where he played like 4 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And the last song is just this great song. And I was just like, what am I doing? I'm not him. But man, I want to have that feeling again. I want to play guitar. Why am I not playing my guitar? And so after I watched that, I remember I went back in my room. I wrote like 4 songs. And I was super excited again to play guitar. So Prince is everything. Will be forever.
Really,
always.
We buried the lead with this question. 20 years ago.
20 years since Tupac passed.
That is insane.
September 13th, 1996.
He'd only be 40.
I don't remember how old he was then. That's a good
question.
25, 20 years ago. I think he'd be 45 or 46. If he was still alive.
Well, what's the funniest thing that when Chris Rock said? Everyone talks about what Tupac would be doing if he was still alive. You hear what Chris Rock said?
Yeah, I vaguely remember.
They're
fresh
like,
my memory.
Tupac has two choices. If he were still alive, he'd either be in politics or he'd be in a bunch of Tyler Perry movies.
Oh, right.
He'd be that guy pushing somebody down the stairs.
Mm-hmm. James Brown.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
MCA of the Beastie Boys.
Oh,
that's a
nice
good one.
Good pull. Great pull, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, that's a really good one right there. Lots of people weighing in with Prince. Is B.B. King passed?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A while ago?
That was last year.
Oh, okay.
I believe it was last year. Yeah. Yeah, what was you just said 2 seconds ago? Oh, because I remember when MCA passed, it was right before the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
And I remember just sitting there watching them, and it was such an emotional thing. And I think they read a letter. I felt like Ad Rock and good grief. Who's the other one? King, Ad Rock, MCA, and Mike D.
Yeah.
And I thought that they read a letter from MCA. After he had passed, when they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it was super emotional though. When they got up there, it was a big deal. That was a good pull from that guy.
Yeah, a lot of people. I wish people understood, or for those that don't, I wish they understood how revolutionary the Beastie Boys were.
Oh my goodness, in so many different ways.
I mean, so many people think. I mean, those guys with Rick Rubin.
Yep.
And then that Def Jam crew. Oh my gosh, changed. Yeah. Few people can say they changed something.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys changed music.
But even when they went through their period where they got back to their roots of X, they used to be a punk rock band. They played instruments.
Right.
And so I remember seeing them.
They dominated two genres.
Yeah. I saw them at a show at the Warfield, and they did two separate sets where they came out first and did playing with the instruments. They did all this stuff. They took a little 10-minute break, came back out, and it was just all hip-hop after that. And I was like, how did you just do that? You just did a 40-minute set where you played your instruments, did all your stuff, and you just came back out and did an hour set of all of your hip-hop stuff. That's talent.
Jimi Hendrix and Johnny Cash coming through quite a bit. Have you guys seen the Tupac movie trailers that came out? Oh, they came out today. I didn't see the ones that came out today, but I've seen the clips where you can see who the actor is and how they tried to pull this off, and it looks eerie.
Does it work?
Yeah. It works. Because we've seen at least 10 guys that look exactly like Tupac Shakur, right, in various movies and who have played him in different, you know, different roles. What was the latest one?
Yeah,
Straight Outta Compton.
That cat.
Yeah, he's. I don't know that he necessarily looked exactly like him, but he sounded exactly like him. They were talking over the track, but when they cut the track off and he was talking, it was like, whoa, okay. That was a lot like the guy who played Snoop. The guy didn't look like Snoop, but when he started talking, it was like, oh, okay, that's a good pull.
Or
that's
even
a,
like the
good.
Kid that played Biggie, I think his name like Jamal Woodward
or
something
like that.
He
was one and done.
But he was...
He pulled it off.
He was everything. He did a great job.
That was a terrible movie.
It was
but
not
he pulled
a good movie, but he did a good job.
You can't have your mom in charge of your biopic. because
that's never gonna
because the movie ends and it's like, oh, he was totally going to turn his life around and everything was okay. And it's like, dude, stop.
Yeah.
Stop. Lane Staley, I hope I'm not pronouncing wrong.
Oh, yes, Lane Staley from Alice in Chains, yeah.
Yeah, that's getting a lot of love here, too, on the text line.
Yeah, he was, I mean, that band is so amazing. And the way he and Jerry Cantrell, their harmonies, I mean, and when they came through, they actually kind of changed that genre. Because when they were coming through, that grunge was just very hard. And there weren't really a lot of harmonic vocals in that what they were doing. But then the way those two guys came through, it was really, really revolutionary. It's a shame.
Someone's telling us to YouTube Tupac at the Celtics game. I love when those pop up. I love when someone says Tupac is alive and they show him like at a wherever it was, but he's still wearing his bandana backwards like he did 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, he looks exactly like he did 20 years ago.
He hasn't progressed at
all. Not at all.
Not at all.
Watch the Sacramento Republic FC host the LA Galaxy 2 this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. at Bonnie Field. You can purchase tickets at SacRepublicFC.com. Coming up at 2 o'clock, we got your winners and losers of week one of the NFL. Plus, we will look ahead to week two. Getting a text here. I will have to look this up, but I trust our text line. The kid from Straight Outta Compton is the kid who plays Tupac in the upcoming Tupac movie.
Oh.
So
we'll check that.
Then that'll work.
Okay.
That will absolutely work. Another thing we haven't touched on, we're going to talk about the Giants here in just a little bit. Not the best follow-up to the weekend that they had. We'll touch on that. Plus, the college football AP Top 25 poll is out. I got some issues with it, particularly at the top, specifically with Clemson. We'll talk about that next here as the lowdown continues on your home of the best live and local coverage of the National Football League, Sports 1140 KHDK. We got a chance for you to win a pair of Kings Road tickets to opening night at the Golden One Center on Thursday, October 27th, against the San Antonio Spurs. Listen to The Drive, 8:30 a.m. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, starting tomorrow, September 14th, for the name of a former Kings player. Now, collect all 14 Kings players that The Drive announces on air between September 14th and October 14th. The name of a 15th Kings player will be available at a Coors Light display at local participating supermarkets. Come to the finale on Tuesday, October 18th at Malton Mash, located at 715 K Street downtown between 5 and 7 p.m. If you are able to correctly name all 15 Kings players on our all-time Kings team, you could walk away with a pair of tickets, Kings Row, opening night. So that all kicks off tomorrow.
I'm hitting.
19 games left in the baseball season. Oh, by the way, the Tupac movie trailer is pretty incredible.
Oh, you watched it?
You got to take it. You got to check it out. That kid looks exactly like him.
Right. But now, how are they doing the audio? Is he?
Did you just hear me say I couldn't get my audio to work?
No, I wasn't. I was trying to do something.
I couldn't get my audio to work.
Oh, okay.
I was just watching it.
Got it.
I had to go back. I was like, is that Tupac? It looks exactly like him. To the point where it's
a little creepy.
It's a little creepy.
Eerie?
It really looks like him. Not like, nah, I can see it. It's like, oh, wow. They pulled it off.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully the movie doesn't suck.
All right.
All eyes on me. No clue when that comes out. 19 games left in the baseball season.
Not disastrous last night for the Giants, but a missed opportunity because, the Dodgers did win, so they fell a game further back, four back. The Cardinals and the Mets lost, so they could have picked up a full game on them in the wild card, but they just can't beat the Padres anymore. They beat them the first nine times. We had the three out of the break. You lose this one. So you'd won three straight, four or five. You're coming home, and you get shut out at home to the Padres. That's where the buzzkill is.
Yeah, that's a shame. Yeah. And it just looks like they don't have any confidence.
Yeah.
Whereas the Dodgers, didn't they go to Yankee Stadium?
Yeah.
They're chilling.
Put it on the Yankees,
yeah,
and
did.
The Yankees are competing. They're
yes,
hot
they
right
are.
Now.
Yeah.
Dodgers are not having a problem. They're just, and even though they lost when their best pitcher came back, they're like, that's not a problem. We'll just keep pushing.
Well, they still lead the wild card race.
Yeah.
And then they got two games over the Cardinals, which you pointed out last week is going to be the biggest thing they got in front of them.
Yeah, it's the four that starts Thursday. So if you can get even another cushion and then win two or three against the Cardinals, I think you almost guarantee that you're in the wild card, and then you start your chase to see if you can get to L.A.
Coming up at 2 o'clock, we got your winners and losers of week one of the NFL season. Plus, we'll look ahead to week two. Want to touch on this top 25 AP poll in college football here in just a few minutes. But first, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. JR is the latest Niner fan who wants to celebrate.
latest. I was born and raised in Candlestick.
Behind the stands.
Underneath the right field bleachers.
Yep.
All right. Well, good for you. How happy are you today, JR?
Oh, it's just fun. You know what? Playoffs started today. We would be the number one seed.
There you go.
Let's be serious here.
There you go.
And based on that Giants losses, you guys are just talking about, thank God. I was like, okay, one of us is winning. You know, I think half the friggin' team was probably watching the game in the clubhouse or something. So, you can't get too excited. Of course, the wonderful NFL rewards us by sending us to Carolina.
Oh, man.
I don't get why we have to play them at all. That doesn't make any sense. But, you know, it is what it is.
It rotates divisions, yeah. But that's a brutal one. That's a brutal one to go from a late Monday night, later than normal, to a first thing Sunday morning on the East Coast.
And, of course, they played Thursday. This is just like last year.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh had played, had lost a game they should have won, had the 10 days rest. We went to Pittsburgh, and, of course, that's the reason. It wasn't that we had Tommy Tuisula doing the helm or anything. But it was fun to see Carlos run well. I think, you know, if he could stay healthy and didn't get his head bashed around too much, at least get that going on 0. And then the defense is the defense still. They'll keep him in games.
There you go, JR.
And then Richard Dawson is the man kicking the ball. That's all we need.
Richard Dawson.
We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Are we recording all these calls?
Always.
So we can run them back in about 4 weeks.
You think it'll take that long? I just want to stress they're playing Carolina this Sunday.
Yeah.
It's amazing that the NFL keeps doing things like this because I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, but I know I've seen it on two different occasions, once with the Cowboys and once with the Saints, where they would play a Sunday night game and then they would have the Thursday.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it's like, man, you couldn't possibly have it unless you're going to schedule them for a Monday and then make them play. You couldn't possibly have shorter rest. And then, I mean, this one for the 49ers against the Panthers team that played on Thursday,
right?
That's brutal.
Yeah, I mean, you knew in the schedule they had to go to Carolina, but why this week? And they follow that up going to Seattle. So it's next couple weeks will be a real big test for Chip Kelly's team.
Top 25 came out, and people texting about the Harlan call. Don't worry, we'll air it again.
Oh, yeah.
No worries. You're going to hear that again. And Kevin Harlan will also be with Grant Napier later on the Grant Napier Show. Top 25 came out, college football. Clemson was pushed again this week. Now, I'm fine with the opening week against Auburn.
Okay.
Because I think Auburn, it's an SEC team. They're always going to play you tough, whether they're ranked or not.
Yeah, they get up for that.
They were challenged.
Beat by Troy.
By a touchdown.
Yeah.
They went from 2-5.
Okay.
Tennessee was pushed by Appalachian State and went from, what was it, 7th to like
19 or 16
or something like that. That's a pretty drastic fall. They beat Virginia Tech this week. I think they moved from, I think it was 17 that they were. Yeah, they were at 17.
Now
they're 15.
What's
your problem? Man, we got to drop Clemson a little further. If we're using the blueprint that if you're being challenged by bad teams like Troy or Appalachian State, hey, we need an equal opportunity drop here. Clemson should have gone down a little bit more. You could have put Stanford up there. You could have put Houston up. You could have put Washington up. You could have put Wisconsin up.
Yeah.
Instead, you just, okay, we're going to just drop them down just a little bit, bump Florida State up, stay in the conference. This is the infuriating part about college football because these ratings do matter, as Jason, you noted when they first came out, is because it's movement. You know, they got to move.
Yeah.
And I think after that week one game, voters immediately felt bad about putting Tennessee in the top 10 and thought, well, okay, they were pushed. We're going to knock them out.
Yeah.
We're going to pull them out of there.
Yeah, they felt they were the one. And they remember they played before a lot of teams. It was one of the chances to see them on their own where maybe people, they saw the final score against Troy, but maybe they didn't see a lot of that game. But this goes back to if you didn't have ratings and maybe they just started it now. I don't know that Clemson would be as high as 5 based on their two-game performance.
But. Right.
What about Georgia? They were number 9.
Mm-hmm.
They won. Now they're number 16.
Ugly wins.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Ugly wins.
Wow.
But the difference, I guess, Georgia, and the same is true with Tennessee. You're in the SEC, so your competition is going to get really difficult. So you're going to have the opportunity to move up. But Clemson, I'm looking at it like Clemson, the competition in the ACC isn't. You have one game. Florida State and Clemson essentially have one game that they have to win. And it's against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the ACC championship later in the year.
Yeah.
Is it because you have a top Heisman candidate on that team that they get a bit more respect from
probably
writers and coaches?
And where they were last year.
Yeah.
Right.
And what's interesting, the coaches poll, so this is the AP you're talking about, the coaches poll, Clemson got a first place vote. One.
Laughable.
But that's interesting that a coach gives them a number one vote.
You know, it probably was.
Is that their coach?
I don't know that they can vote for themselves.
Probably Florida State's coach.
Oh. Yeah, pump them up.
Probably Bowden, yeah. Put him in there, pump him. And then that way, when that game comes along.
Or Fisher, yeah.
Fisher, sorry. Yeah, yeah. And then there it is.
Who's the coach in Clemson? Sweeney?
Yeah, Dabo Sweeney.
It is a good week of college football coming up, by the way.
Great week.
Louisville, Florida State, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Florida, Tennessee, Bama, Ole Miss, and Notre Dame at Michigan State. This could be the end of Notre Dame.
Yeah, if they get a second loss,
it's over.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's over. It's a quarterback-driven league. You've heard us say that a million times. You'll hear from Ron Rivera talk about his quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, Doug Peterson, and Tom Brady. We got all of that coming up here for you next on The Lowdown. It's got to be – Jimmy Garoppolo has to have the toughest job right now in the NFL because you got that guy critiquing and watching everything you do and probably sending text messages and – hey, try this, hey, do this, or hey, good job, or hey, you know, here's the game plan for whoever we're playing next, the Dolphins. That's got to be tough for Garoppolo.
Well, I think the tough part is I don't think Brady's doing that.
You don't think so?
I don't think Brady's helping him at all. I always read into everything, but even with that soundbite, I'm like, you didn't even mention Jimmy until the end, and all you say was Jimmy did everything that was asked of him. Not Jimmy went out there and did a great job leading the team. Not Jimmy went out there and I thought he handled the pressure great. He made good throws. No, Jimmy did everything that was asked of him. That's ego. And it's never going away. It doesn't matter if you're Peyton Manning, Tony Romo, Tom Brady. I understand you guys are competitors and you want to be starters. I get that. But do they even know how to support? I don't think guys at that level know how to support.
Yeah, and for Brady, he's got to know. I mean, we always say, like, a backup would have a chance to get the job. There's zero chance to grow up. I mean, Brady's going to be the quarterback, barring injury. Mm-hmm. So he could say nothing but praise on
him. Exactly.
You're secure.
That's the kind of thing that bothers me. I'm like, why wouldn't you heap some praise on the guy, maybe increase his confidence, and it makes you look better, too. Because, by the way, sir, your public image is not that sterling right about now.
You know what? Maybe they don't get along. Maybe we have this perception that all these backup quarterbacks sit in the quarterback room and they're all chummy and happy. Remember Brett Favre with Aaron Rodgers? It's not my job to mentor this kid. It's not. They had an icy or have. I don't know if they have or it was just had, but at one point they certainly did have an icy relationship. So maybe we overplay the relationship that quarterbacks have on the same team.
But it's not just so much relationship. I think reputation comes into play. And what I mean by that is Brett Favre never had the reputation of being a great outgoing teammate. Never. And it wasn't, no one said he was a bad teammate. But then you also have this public image that has been spun out there that Tom Brady is this great leader, great teammate. And I guess also maybe we put extra expectations on them because I want my quarterback to be a great team guy. I want my quarterback to be super supportive of everyone around them. And when I don't see that from my superstar quarterback, I think that maybe it's petty on their part.
Yeah.
Here's Jimmy Garoppolo talking about what he's trying to accomplish week to week. And he did it without Rob Gronkowski, who, again, we probably, I'd imagine, in Belichick form, we won't hear anything until Thursday about whether he's media will know if he's dressed and he's in uniform and he's out on the field, but he may even keep that secret because the media is only allowed for a certain part of practice. They're only able to see a certain part of practice, so we may not know until, Saturday?
Yeah.
Sunday?
He usually keeps that pretty quiet by design.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
Another story, it seems so long ago now, but Thursday, coming out of that Thursday night game, Denver-Carolina was the shots that Cam Newton took to his head, and kind of lost in that was the fact that Cam Newton stayed out there. There was a lot of talks about were the plays fairly called? Were they not called against him? Is he judged differently by referees? And Ron Rivera talked about that particular play there at the end with 40-some-odd seconds left if he was assessing to see if Cam Newton had a concussion. And it sounds like he's already getting ready to talk to the NFL about this when asked if they followed protocol. Again, Ron Rivera, the Carolina Panthers. Judging by that answer, I don't think coaches know what to do when that happens to a player. We saw it with Ron Rivera there. We saw it, obviously, the most egregious one with Jeff Fisher, again, last year with Case Keenum. Mm-hmm. I don't think coaches know what to do, or they're unwilling to do it in those moments. Because remember, those were closing game moments, both of those games.
Well, maybe part
closing minutes of the games, I'm sorry.
I understand. Maybe part of what he said is them not being able to go on the field. Maybe for a coach, a coach feels like they can go on the field and look at that quarterback and be able to better assess what to do next. And as Coach Rivera just said, they can't do that any longer. They can't walk out there. So maybe that's part of what's handicapping them from making the assessment. Or maybe you just feel like because of the doctors and the NFL protocol that they don't know like what the next step should be.
I just got to believe it's laid out better than that.
Yeah, you would hope that like there's a more concrete plan of how they want it. But we've seen they've had missteps in this. And yeah. I think they're trying to get a firmer grasp on the exact guidelines to the protocol, but I think it hasn't been followed clearly in the past.
Hugh Jackson wants us to know we are all wrong about how RG3 got hurt.
So when was it?
Yeah, I've tracked down the entire interview to figure out.
He was saying that he didn't intentionally take on the defender. I think that's what he was saying. He wasn't saying that it didn't happen on that play.
I thought that's what
No,
he was
that's
saying.
Exactly how I took it.
Really?
I took it exactly.
We got time to run that back?
Real quick, maybe you're right. Here is the only thing that I could find that I think was an answer to the question Jason just posed. Anybody buying that? I hear it a little bit differently now that you said that, yeah. But I still don't see it that way. We'll talk a little bit more about this. Plus, we got your winners and losers of week 1, and we will look ahead to week 2 coming up, third and final hour of the Lowdown next.